ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
All right, is everybody set and ready? Because you know what? If you are, so am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
Yes, 25 questions, 5 categories. Our categories tonight are category number 1, also a suspect in Cluedo. Category number 2, TV finales. Category number 3, Respondez-vous en français, s'il vous plaît. Category number 4, singers. Category number 5, environmental disasters. All right. Also a suspect in Cluedo, TV finales. Répondez en français, s'il vous plaît. Singers, environmental disasters. Anne from Caulfield's going to kick us off. Hello, Anne.
Hi, how are you going?
I'm all right. Yeah, I think pretty good.
Good.
You know, looking out the window, I can't see much, and that's probably a good thing because... what do you like here? Also a suspect in Cluedo, TV finales, Répondez en français, s'il vous plaît. Environmental disasters or singers?
I'll try Répondez en français, please.
Répondez en français, s'il vous plaît. Question number 1. French for Madness of Two. What was the subtitle of the 2024 Joker movie starring Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga?
I should have stuck with what I wanted to do, which was the Cluedo ones. French for what? Madness of Two. Cuckoos, I don't know. No idea.
I reckon you do. I reckon you'll know.
Yeah, but I'll probably kick myself. Usually what happens is the second I hung up, it occurs to me, but... we don't have another half hour. Well, I'm sort of
Anne, I've known each other for quite a long time.
Well, you know what? They give me half an hour.
Half an hour you do not have, no.
No worries. Thanks a lot.
See
anyway.
You, Anne. Bye.
See you later. Bye.
See ya. Anne, going out on the first ball. Robin says, by the way, Phil, don't tell that bloke about the Chesterfield, the cigars and the scotch. Yeah. Oh, well, I could be a robot. You never know. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Tony in Ballarat. G'day, Tony.
G'day, Phil. Sitting ready with birthday wishes for Ron Catlin, batter, leader of our premiership team. 30 seasons ago now, but memory just like yesterday, to the test of time. Or any or all of the team might be listening. Happy birthday to Ron as well. Yes.
Happy birthday to Ron as well, Tony, from us as well.
Right.
All right. What do you like here? Répondez en français, s'il vous plaît. French for Madness of Two. What was the subtitle for the 2024 Joker movie starring Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga?
Oh, this is all too recent for me, Philip. Anne said, like dirt, cuckoo, bells. I'll say, like dirt, oiseau.
Les deux oiseaux, the two birds. Why not? No, Tony, it's not. But thank you anyway. Bye bye. Always good to chat. Trevor from Croydon Park. Hello, Trev.
I submit in evidence that I'm speaking to an AI-generated robot,
yeah,
that you are programmed not to answer questions.
I am. Programmed not to answer questions. That's right. If I was a robot, I reckon the consumer, the IU, and everybody else, and I would say, come on, can't we do better than this? He could at least finish inside the hour. That'd be a good, if he was a decent robot. Trevor.
Programmed to drag it out.
Well, I don't drag it out. It's just a question of whether people can answer the questions or not. I mean, you know, I can't answer them, as you know, Trevor. French for Madness of Two. What was the subtitle of the 2024 Joker movie starring Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga?
Folie à deux.
Folie à deux. Yes, Annette from Perth has got that. Folie à deux. Mick in Falconbridge has got Folie à deux. Jane in Hobart's Ray in the Bay, Folie à deux. Susie's got Folie à deux.
Murray, one small thing.
Yeah.
When you bring me out, can you introduce me as Joker? You don't listen to you. You just ask the same questions every week. How's your job? Are you having any negative thoughts? All I have are negative thoughts.
Send in the clowns.
Yes, the Joker. Not my cup of tea, I must say, Trevor. But anyway, that's not the problem, I'm sure. Question number two. What do you want to do here? Répondez en français, or you can move.
Could you go to them again, please?
Répondez en français, s'il vous plaît, or TV finales, also a suspect in Cluedo, singers, environmental disasters.
I'll try singers.
Singers. Ross from Scoresby says, aha, Phil, but that's how you pass the Turing test, Phil, imperfections. Hey. Grover from Ocean Grove wants to know, how do you know your callers aren't AI robots? This is what the world's coming to, isn't it? Question number two, singers. Which Greek-American soprano who lived from 1923 to 1977 was known as La Divina?
The answer to that is Maria Callas.
Maria Callas. Yes, the most marvellous, marvellous voice. Have a listen to this. How about that? A visitate from Tosca.
Shall we proceed to the next question before my charge runs out?
Al from Congress says, Phil, your AI talking to Anne's AI sounded like two real people talking to each other. It's pretty good. Yes. Question number three.
Yes, I think Maria Callas chalked up a really big bar bill for all the broken glasses.
Little Brother Chuck has texted saying, worse than fingernails down a blackboard. Oh, come on, little brother. That's not enough. That's not fair. Hey, question number three, singers. Do you want to stay here? David Lee Roth, Sammy Hagar and Gary Cherone have all been lead singers for which band?
Van Halen.
That would be... Sorry, I missed that.
Van Halen.
Van Halen, of course, yes. Can't you see me standing here? I got my back against the wrecking machine. I ain't the worst that you've seen. Can't you see what I mean? Might as well jump, jump. Might as well jump. Go ahead, jump, jump. Oh, yes, jump. Karen from Mullen Movie says, I had to take my headphones off for that shrieking. Oh, Karen, you can't tell me. It's Maria Callas. No, she's not a shrieker. Chris in the Southern Waters, Van Halen, totally rule. Trevor.
I'm waiting for anyone to ring in trying to coax their cat out from under the couch.
Stop it. Three on the trot. Nice work. Singers, that's where we are. Staying here?
Oh, I shall not jump to anything else.
Okay. Question number four. The Hofner 500/1 violin bass is the trademark instrument of which musician?
Oh, violinist.
Or the Hofner, I suppose you might say. The Hofner 500/1 violin bass is the trademark instrument of which musician?
Here's where my programming goes awry. And I'll say André Rieu.
Not André Rieu.
No.
Thanks, okay. Trev. Good on you. Bye-bye. Thank you. No. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Just to make you salivate. Oh, Carol, that's not fair. Carol says, just to make you salivate, I'm making 3 cheeses toasted Sangers to dip into my piping hot homemade tomato soup. Gruyere, Jarlsberg, and Red Leicester. Oh, wow. That's very good. Oh, you're right. You have pained me. All right. Sorry, Phil, says Annette from Perth. Some Australians have no sense of opera music. That's true. Anyway, we're moving on here. Andrew's in Smithton. I'll come to you in a sec. What about Jeff from Jalora? G'day, Jeff.
Evening, Philip.
Evening. We're in a category called singers. Question number 4. The Hofner 500/1 violin bass is the trademark instrument of which musician?
Yeah, the only one I can think of that would be Nigel Kennedy.
Not Nigel Kennedy. No.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
Oh, well.
Sorry, no, not Nigel Kennedy. I know what everyone's doing here. Where are we? Andrew from Smithton. Hello, Andrew.
Cover.
Hello.
How are you going?
Yeah, good. Question number 4, singers. The Hofner 500/1 violin bass is the trademark instrument of which musician?
Trademark instrument. I have no idea.
No, that's okay.
Good. So
thanks,
it's,
Andrew.
It's Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday, okay. Nothing wrong with a taco. Leck in Borough. Hello, Leck.
No, I'm in Geelong.
Oh, when you, oh, what do you, you go back home to Borough? Leck, what happened?
No, I'm in Geelong. I've travelled all the way here for to see old friends and stuff from stuff. And, flew from Adelaide yesterday to Melbourne and took the train from Geelong to Geelong. Sorry, Philip.
I was
half asleep.
Well,
I didn't
good.
Think I was going to get on.
You're on, Leck. What do you reckon? What do you reckon? Now, the Hofner 500/1 violin bass is the trademark instrument of which musician?
Repeat the question.
The Hofner 500/1 violin bass is the trademark instrument of which musician?
Oh, it couldn't be, Julian Lloyd Webber.
No, not Mr. Lloyd Webber.
No, it's not.
Thank you, Leck.
Thank you. For
See ya. Bye. Thank you very much. Ray in the Bay, thank you. Shelley in Yanchep's got it. No, it's Susan from Monterey. No, it's not André Rieu. We've had that. Bucky's got the right answer. Yes, Mel in Perth, recently recovered, has got the right answer. So is Barry from Balnarring. What about Dave from St. Arno? G'day, Dave.
G'day, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty
That's good.
Good. The Hofner 500/1 violin bass is the trademark instrument of...
It's a lovely shaped guitar, and it's Paul McCartney.
It is Paul McCartney. It is a lovely shaped guitar, the violin shaped bass. Correct. Close your eyes. Very good, Dave. Excellent.
Beautiful sound to it too, isn't it?
Amazing, amazing, yes. Yeah. Everyone got hung up on violins, and that's why we're off with Nigel Kennedy and, and André Rieu. But it's reminiscent shape of a violin, but it's a bass guitar. Yeah. It's a bass guitar.
Very much so.
Okay, Duke. Question number five. We're in singers. You can stay there, otherwise you can move anywhere else. Also a suspect in Cluedo, TV finales, Répondez en français, s'il vous plaît, or environmental disasters.
I'll go the environmental disasters, I think.
Question number five. By what name is the Vladimir Ilyich Lenin nuclear power plant better known, Dave?
Chernobyl.
It would be, yes. Yes. It's known as Chernobyl.
In an unprecedented step, the Kremlin acknowledged there'd been an accident, but only after Scandinavian scientists had picked up high radiation levels. A statement from the Soviet Council of Ministers was read on television, a sign of the degree of Moscow's concern. Diplomats speculated that the mention of casualties could indicate a high death toll. The Soviet news agency TASS said one of the reactors at Chernobyl, north of Kiev, had been damaged, but there are no details of how serious the accident was.
Yeah, did you ever see the TV series about it called Chernobyl, Dave?
No, I didn't, but I used to I used to do a lot of reading on it and look up YouTube things and that, and just listening to those sort of news reports, that really sort of old, what you just played there, it sends shivers up my spine because I can still remember it when I was at primary school happening. It was 1986, year 7 at high school.
Yeah,
so.
If you ever get a chance, check it out. TV series, which is a dramatisation of the events, is fantastic and it follows exactly what happened.
You might have to do that.
My texter says, oh joy, the government's setting up a committee to work out how to control AI. Probably have the committee formed by the time AI runs the government. Hey, what do you want to do to question six? You can stay with environmental disasters if you like.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do with disasters.
1984's Bhopal disaster was a major gas leak accident in which country?
India.
Yes, it was. It was in India.
The fires of mass cremations had burned throughout the night. As the palls of smoke hung heavily over the stricken city, pile upon pile of ashes showed the enormity of this tragedy. Over 1,000 bodies had already been burned or buried, and still more came. For a third morning, these children had awoken to find no mother, no father, no family. Now they were just numbers in a nightmare. Their lives rested on the relief workers and their handouts. Though finding sufficient food and water not contaminated by the gas had added to the problems.
Yeah, it was just an appalling thing.
And to go through the slums as well, they'll never know how many people actually were killed with it. It was awful.
They will never know. No, exactly. Yep. No. By text, it says, those old-style news clips are so interesting, someone should make a game show with them. See, there's only some people listening who know what that reference is. One of them is me. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Thank you for whoever sent that text in. You don't say who you are. It sounds like bobsled, but it may not be. Question number seven. Okay, staying with environmental disasters.
Yes, please.
Formerly, it was the fourth largest inland body of water in the world. But which inland sea has shrunk by 90% since the 1960s due to the Soviet-era agricultural irrigation practices?
Ooh, okay, inland sea, Soviet. So it's not the one I'm thinking of. So I'm going to take a punt. Black Sea.
Not the Black Sea. Thanks Dave. Much, see you, mate. Thank you. No, it's not the Black Sea. All righty. Trev from Surface Paradise. G'day, Trev.
Hello, Philip.
Hello. Question number seven. We're up to environmental disasters. Formerly the fourth largest inland body of water in the world, which inland sea has shrunk by 90%? Since the 1960s, due to Soviet-era agricultural irrigation practices?
Well, the only thing I think of is a sea that is actually a lake, but my answer, and this is the only one I've got, is the Caspian Sea.
It's not the Caspian. No, thank you, Trev. It's not the Caspian Sea either. Ben from Baden. Hello, Ben. G'day, Ben.
G'day.
Question seven we're up to, Ben. Environmental disasters, formerly the fourth largest inland body of water in the world. Which inland sea has shrunk by nearly 90% since the 1960s due to Soviet-era irrigation practice?
Sorry, Phil. Got nothing.
Got nothing?
Would you like some trivia about the Hofner Base while I'm chatting?
Yeah, why not?
So Paul McCartney got one stolen in 1972. And he was reunited with it in 2023.
I know he got one stolen. Where did he get it back from?
Well, they had a newspaper campaign and then it was sort of sitting in an attic in someone's house somewhere, and the homeowner identified it, and the base was reunited with Paul McCartney.
Gee, that's a pretty amazing story.
Yeah.
Very nice, honest person.
Yeah, I don't know the background of how she came to the possession of it, but if you just Google Paul McCartney, the lost base, you'll...
We don't Google here on the Mighty Challenge, Ben, as you know.
Ben,
I'm with you. I'm just saying, yeah. That's a nice story. Thank you. All right. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Michael from Freshwater. Hello, Michael.
Hey, that was quick.
Yeah, I know. Can happen. Can happen when you're talking about inland seas, which have shrunk by 90%. So are people willing to answer the question?
All right. So is that is the question, is it?
Formerly, it was the fourth largest inland body of water in the world. Which inland sea has shrunk by 90% since the 1960s due to Soviet-era irrigation practices?
One of two. So having the...
It's not the Black Sea. It's not the Caspian Sea.
Oh, there you go. It's that was the two that I was thinking it would be. I think I'm dead in the water now.
Well, there's no water to be dead in. That's the problem here.
Oh, this is the problem. Yeah, no, I've seen some photos of it. It's terrible. No, it's not... Like Omega, but it's not Omega.
No. Sorry, Michael. Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. No, that is not correct either. Lachlan from Preston. Hi, Lachlan.
Hi, Phil. How are you going?
Pretty good. What sea are we after here?
Look, I called to have a go at Macca's Base. My geography's not great. I can think of, is the Black Sea?
No, we've had the Black Sea. It's not the Black Sea.
Ah.
Not the Black Sea, not the Caspian Sea.
No, sorry, Phil.
No,
I don't think I could name another one.
Sorry. Yeah. No worries. Thanks, Lachlan. We'll move on. Louis from Cowandilla. G'day, Louis.
Yeah, g'day.
Question seven. Formerly the fourth largest inland body of water in the world, which inland sea shrunk by 90% since the 1960s due to irrigation practice in the Soviet era?
Thinking it's the Aral Sea.
The what?
Aral Sea.
I'm just going to move on here. Dave from Perth. G'day, Dave. Hi, Dave. Hi, Dave. Hello. No, we can't find. All right, let's try Mario from Lanier. Hi, Mario.
Hello.
Formerly the fourth largest inland body of water in the world, which inland sea shrunk by 90% since the 1960s?
Yes, the Aral Sea.
That's A-R-A-L. It. That's it. The Aral Sea. Correct. Yeah, the Aral Sea is the one I was after. Very good. Yeah. No, it's a complete tragedy. There's a whole. Lots of dreadful photographs of, you know, stranded boats and docks and all
that's
sorts.
That's right, yeah.
Question number eight. We're in environmental disasters, but you could move if you like.
we'll stay here. I've got one, so I'll go for another one.
Question number eight. In which year was the Fukushima nuclear disaster?
Okay. I'm not going to get this. Around 2013.
No, not 2013. Sorry.
Oh, no, I'm close.
Thanks, Mario. Right. Bye-bye. Karen from Altona. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
What year was the Fukushima nuclear disaster?
Oh, gosh, it was a while back. Going back to early, I think it was the early 2011.
2011 is correct.
One of the biggest earthquakes ever recorded has hit Japan. It triggered a tsunami washing away everything in its path.
It felt like the end of the world. I didn't know they were going to be headed for a meltdown in less than 24 hours.
The country was in complete chaos, and they have the situation at the Fukushima nuclear power plant.
Yes, dreadful. All right, question number nine. We're one left in environmental disasters, otherwise you could move to singers, TV finales. Also a suspect in Cluedo or a répondez en français, s'il vous plaît.
I'll try the French one, répondez.
Répondez en français, s'il vous plaît. Question number nine. Which 1969 duet between Serge Gainsbourg and Jane Birkin was banned in several countries because of its racy content?
I have heard this before. Let me think. I'm not sure of the title, but I'll say, no, that's a French ABBA one. I've got to say, Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
Thank you, Karen. Right. So, not tonight. Thank you. Bye-bye. 1-300-800-222. Ian from Warimba. Hello, Ian.
Thanks, Phil. No, Renwick High's French was pretty crap, so I've got no idea.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. See you later. All righty, 1-300-800-222. All of a sudden, answers have evaporated on me. We're in répondez en français, s'il vous plaît. Don't worry, we're over the RLC. The RLC has been and gone, right? So give me a call, 1-300-800-222. Which 1969 duet between Serge Gainsbourg and Jane Birkin was banned in several countries because of its racy content? Hmm? Pat from The Point, correct. Chris from Forest Lodge, no, that's not right. Susie, correct, yes. Alan in Cumnock, correct. Mick in Falconbridge says, Phil, I can't remember the title of that song, but it's gross. Okay. Well, yes, in the ears of some, I guess. Steve from Tokenwall. G'day, Steve.
Oh, g'day, Phil.
What was it called?
Well, it was a husband and wife team, actually. I think it was Je T'aime.
That's it. Je T'aime. Correct, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it was his wife that was doing the noises.
It was sung in a very breathy way, and there was some, yes, noises as well, Steve. That's
yeah,
true.
I've heard the story, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Question number 10, répondez en français, s'il vous plaît, otherwise you could move.
Tu s'appelles, je m'appelle Etienne. Well, let's go with the français.
Staying with the français, okay.
I'll give it a crack.
What is the embarrassing French phrase meaning false step?
Sacre bleu?
Not sacre bleu, no. Not sacre bleu. Tanya from Nairn says, I think the Aral Sea has improved significantly along its northern Kazakhstan coast due to improved irrigation practices along there. More needs to be done, but there is some good news. Yeah, well, a long, long, long way to go. That's true. Sam from Harvey. Hello, Sam. G'day, Sam.
Hello, Philip. Philip, how you are?
I'm going pretty well.
Good, yeah.
We're in répondez en français, s'il vous plaît. Sam, what do you reckon? Look, up to question 10 here. What's the embarrassing French phrase meaning false step?
I'm sorry, Philip, I wouldn't have a clue.
No good. All right, Sam, thank you. Helen from Bendigo. Hi, Helen. Hello.
Que répondez à la mot français. Is it faux pas?
Correct. What's the embarrassing French phrase meaning false step? It is faux pas. We're in a category called répondez en français, s'il vous plaît. Question number 11. You can stay here if you wish.
I might try the environmental disaster. I think we have one more in that.
We did. Yes, we did have one more environmental disaster.
You know, the Aral Sea affected both Turkey and
Kazakhstan,
and the harvesting of the beluga caviar. It is a massive environmental catastrophe.
Oh, no, it's horrible. Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, I'm sure you would, people listening would remember, recall seeing the pictures of,
horrifying.
Hundreds of boats just lying on this dust box.
And all of the people, you know, affected all around us.
Dreadful. Question number 11. We're up to one left in environmental disasters. Following the publication of Rachel Carson's book Silent Spring, which insecticide was banned in America in 1972 and declared illegal in Australia in 1987?
Yeah, that took a long time, didn't they? I think it was DDT, Dildrin.
Yes, correct. DDT, yeah. I know. They did take an awful long time to get here, didn't they?
We always take an awful long time.
We are doing the same in so many things.
We've got a new one, which Paraquat or whatever it is now.
Yes, that's right. That's correct.
This is one of the nation's bestsellers. Up to now, 500,000 copies have been sold, and Silent Spring has been called the most controversial book of the year.
Rachel Carson's push to limit the use of powerful pesticides like DDT helped spark the American environmental movement.
Rachel Carson is one of those rare individuals who brought about change in all of our lives.
Yes, no, you're quite right. You're right about paraquat. I was hearing a story about that the other day, Helen. It's been banned, I think, 50 countries, including, in China. We don't normally think as being very at the forefront of these things. But it's still allowed here, according to the regulator here. There's an association with Parkinson's disease, as
these
I recall.
These things are a mystery to me, yeah.
Yeah. All righty, question 12. Now, that's it for our environmental disasters. So we're up to question number 12. We've got singers. We've got two left there. Plenty in also a suspect in Cluedo, plenty in TV finales. We've got two left in Répondez en Français.
Oh, it's a hard choice. I might go for the singers. I don't know. It's a game. Right.
Question number 12. You've got the point here, Helen. That's it. Question 12. 1991's Love and Kisses was the debut album from which Australian singer?
Oh, 1991. Debut album. I think it's a little bit late. No, but I'm going to go for Kylie.
What's your answer again, Helen?
Kylie Minogue.
Not Kylie Minogue. No. No. Sorry. Thanks, Helen. No, it's not Kylie Minogue. Rachel from Kilmore. Hi, Rachel.
Hi
there. Hi. 1991's Love and Kisses was a debut album from which Australian singer, not Kylie Minogue.
I'm racking my brain trying to think. 91. Oh, I can't think of anybody. I'm sorry, I can't think of anyone.
No good?
No.
Thanks, Rachel. Not Kylie Minogue. Keith from Zippy Downs. Hi, Keith.
Oh, good evening, Phil.
Hi.
I'm a friend. I have not the faintest idea. My French is better than my 1991 songs. So I'll pass it on to the next one, but thank you for a good program.
No worries, Keith. Thank you. Okay. I don't help people, as I know. Or maybe I have helped people. I don't know. Have I? Lance from Geraldton. Hi, Lance.
How you going, Phil?
Pretty good.
Just before I'll try and answer that, that's your Tim. I was about a 13-year-old in Perth at the time. And this went out all the teenagers had, in trannies.
Yeah, yeah.
And it always amazed me. It was played on air down there for, I think, quite a few weeks. And then suddenly someone must have realised what was all about and then banned it after the fact.
And not before thousands of 13-year-old boys. Well, that's right. We're getting off on it, I presume. Yeah.
And, of course, I think also just quickly, I think Abigail released a version of it.
Oh, did she? Oh, well, sure. She should. If she didn't, she should have. You're right.
Yes, there was. I'm sure other people backing up. And would that answer be, are you after Kate Sobrano?
It's not Kate Sobrano, no. Sorry, okay, Lance. Bye-bye, mate. Thank you. No, it's not Kylie Minogue. Love and Kisses was the debut album from which Australian singer in 1991. Lozzie and Huntley's got it. Frankie in the Netherlands says it's Kylie Moll. No, it's not. No. Lozzie's got it, yeah. Angela in Tamworth has got the right answer. Greg from Liverpool as well has got the right answer. Come on, help us out here. 1991's Love and Kisses was the debut album from which Australian singer? It wasn't Kylie Minogue. Who was it? 1-300-800-222. There are lines free. Grab one. Tell me the answer. Maria has got the right answer. Sue in Bellevue Heights, correct? Yes. Sue's picked it up. Donna in Adelaide has got the right answer. Someone must know this. Help me. 1-300-800-222. 1991's Love and Kisses was the debut album from which Australian singer? Aaron from North Queensland. Hi, Aaron.
G'day.
Hi. Who are we after?
Danny Minogue.
Correct. It's not Kylie. It's Danny Minogue. Yes.
My least favourite word is reinvention. Pivot, I think we all started using during COVID, but I feel like I just love being creative and I love expression, and wherever I can push myself to learn more or try something, I just love it. I love it.
Jason says, by the way, that of Je T'aime, I recall Abigail's version was even more breathless. Maybe. Aaron, question number 13. What do you want to do here? We're in singers. We've got one left, if you like.
Yeah, stay in singers.
Which American female singer released a fragrance for women called M, that is the letter M, back in 2007. American female singer. Released a fragrance for women called M.
Lady Gaga.
Not Lady Gaga, no. Not Lady Gaga. Gail from Wollongong. Hi, Gail.
Could it be Madonna?
You're on the right track, but it's not Madonna, no. No, it's not Madonna, but you are on the right track. Tara's in the truck. You'll know the answer to this, Tara. Hi.
How are you, Phil?
Pretty good. Which American female singer released a fragrance for women called M back in 2007?
Oh, wouldn't have a clue. I'll just have a guess. Katy Perry?
No, not Katy Perry. No, Madonna was on the right track. Angela from Tamworth. Hi, Angela.
How you going?
Pretty good.
That's good.
What are we after?
Oh, I'm going to go Mariah Carey.
Correct, yes. Not Madonna, but Mariah Carey would work, yes. Yes. All right. Question 14. So we've got three categories left. Also a suspect in Cluedo, TV finales, a Répondez en Français, s'il vous plaît. Angela.
I'll go to Cluedo.
Also a suspect in Cluedo. Which colour links the disease Streptococcus pyogenes, a novel by Nathaniel Hawthorne, and one of Robin Hood's Merry Men? Which colour links all three of those? Also a suspect in Cluedo is the category. You've got a fair bit of info here, Angela.
I reckon. Can you just read it again?
Yeah. The category is also a suspect in Cluedo, right?
Yeah.
Which colour, so I'm after a colour, links the disease Streptococcus pyogenes, a novel by Nathaniel Hawthorne, and one of Robin Hood's Merry Men?
Scarlet.
Correct. Very good. Yes, you got there. Because it's scarlet fever, Streptococcus pyogenes.
Yep.
The Scarlet Letter is the novel, and Will Scarlet is one of Robin Hood's Merry Men. And Scarlet, of course, is also a suspect in Cluedo.
Yes.
Phew. Question 15. We can stay here if you like, or if you're exhausted, you can move on.
I'll go on. Keep the Cluedo.
All right. Question number 15. Which condiment is made from the seeds of the Sinapis alba, Brassica juncea, or Rhamphospermum nigrum plants?
That'll be mustard.
Correct. Colonel Mustard. Yes. Also a suspect in Cluedo. Question 16. You've got these down pat, Angela.
Yes, well, it's one of my favourite games.
Oh, I see.
As a child.
Oh, yeah, really? You don't play games as an adult?
Oh, yeah, occasionally.
I love them, but I've...
take it away with the kids in the caravan, so it comes out probably once a year.
Yeah, good. I love it when my kids are around because they're the only ones who play. Because, I mean, my wife won't play games, not in that sense, you know. So, but I love them. I'll play anything. Question 16. Also a suspect in Cluedo. Fireworks typically use barium salt to produce what colour of sparks?
Peacock.
Not blue. Peacock, no. Thank you. I know where you're going, Angela, but no, that's not correct. Matt from Lemon Tree Passage. Hi, Matt.
Yeah, g'day.
Question 16 we're up to. Fireworks typically use barium salt to produce what colour sparks?
Is this in the category about Mr. Mustard?
Called also a suspect in Cluedo.
Okay. Now, before I answer, can I just please quickly say that today's Wordle word is very obscure and people may find it very annoying. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I've just.
What's your streak at the moment, Matt?
Only four or something because I got stymied the other day.
Oh, okay.
But you know, that's a question of averaging. But, yeah, it's just today's one, I did end up cheating.
Matt.
Well, only because I looked at it when, and I'm glad I did because I would have been wasting my time if I was trying to get it because the word is not a word I have ever heard of.
Oh.
So I'm quite annoyed.
Yep. Yeah, actually, in Wordle, that is a bit annoying, actually.
It's meant to be common.
It's meant to be a word that everyone's heard of. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Question 16. I'm just a suspect in Cluedo.
I'll just guess white.
No, it's not white.
Okay.
Thanks, Matt. No. Bye. No, it's not white. It's Luke in Brisbane. Hi, Luke.
Hey, Phil.
Also a suspect in Cluedo. Fireworks typically use barium salt to produce what colour sparks?
I've never played Cluedo, so I'll have to put that on the list of things to do. Red?
Not red, no.
Okay.
No, we've had scarlet, haven't we? So that's not going to work for us. What about Rod's on the road? G'day, Rod.
Hi, Phil.
How are you? Question 16, Rod. What do you reckon?
I really have no idea, so I'm going to say green.
Correct. Very good. Fireworks typically use barium salt to produce what colour sparks? Green. And green is also a suspect in Cluedo. Question 17. Rod.
So yeah, may as well stay here and bomb out in this category.
Question 17. Damson, green gage and satsuma are varieties of which fruit?
Plum.
What's that?
A plum.
Yes, correct. Plum. Plum. Of course, plum is a suspect in Cluedo as well. Question number 18, also a suspect in Cluedo. Rod, last one. According to theatrical tradition, it is bad luck to carry the feathers of which bird on stage?
I think this might have been given inadvertently earlier. I'm going to say the peacock.
Correct. Very good. Yes. Yes. Peacock also a suspect in Cluedo. All right. Nice work. That's it for Cluedo Clues, Rod. And you've gone pretty well here. 1, 2, and 3. Good. Okay, you've got TV finales or répondez en français, s'il vous plaît. 5, 6, 7 questions left.
Not really fancy in either of them, so I'll take the TV one, please.
TV finales. The finale of Mad Men implies that Don Draper created a famous ad for what brand featuring the song I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing?
Like I said, I wasn't fancy in either category. And I'm probably the only person in the country who's never watched an episode of Mad Men.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Never watched a minute of the show.
No worries, Rod. Thanks, mate. See ya.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's... there's lots of shows I haven't watched, but I have watched that show. It's a terrific show, by the way, if you've never seen it. Mad Men, if you're looking for something to watch. It's got a lot of episodes, I seem to recall. Chris on the Sunshine Coast. Hi, Chris.
Good evening, Phil. I couldn't really get into Mad Men, but anyway.
No? Yeah, it was one of those things that if you either... But I find that with most series. If I'm not... What was there was one that was... Who was telling me... Wendley Marr was telling me that I should get into some cooking show called The Bear. I watched about 3 episodes of it and I just couldn't bear it. I couldn't bear it.
Pardon the pun,
yeah. Those American shouty shows where people just shout at each other all the time?
Yeah.
It seems to be
there's an NRL footy show like that on the Murdoch network. I turn around 360 when I had enough of it. Opinions about how to sell certain Murdoch papers. Anyway, we'll move along from that.
Chris, what do you really think? Okay. The finale of Mad Men implies Don Draper created the famous ad for what brand featuring the song I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing?
I thought that song might have been with Coca-Cola.
That
so my answer
would
Coke.
Be correct.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honey bees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing. Sing with me.
Yes, that's the finale of Mad Men. Which have you watched the show, Chris?
No, I tried to. I think the lead actor was a very good actor that played
Don Draper. What's his name? Yeah,
He was also, I think, in Fargo.
Yeah, I think that's right.
One of the many seasons, and he played a really bad man, but he was a really good character. He's been in a few shows, I think.
Yeah. Chris, John Hamm, that's his name, John Hamm, yeah. Chris, I'll put you on hold, mate, but we'll come back to you because we've only got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 left, but we do have a news bulletin to attend to as well. All right, thank you for everyone who texted in John Hamm, who played Don Draper in Mad Men. That's true.
The Mighty Challenge.
Not many to go here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 left. Chris from the Sunshine Coast was up on deck. G'day, Chris.
6 to go is not many. Come on, Phil, please.
It's not many.
I got one in a row.
That wasn't bad, having a good, you know, long shot at Coca-Cola.
Well, you could stay
there. If your French is any good, you could go with Répondez en français, s'il vous plaît.
My French is so good, I'm going to stay with TV.
Okay, question number 20. The ring cycle, where Arthur and Deirdre end up getting back together, is the finale of which classic Australian sitcom?
Arthur and Deirdre get back together in Australian sitcom. The ring cycle, Arthur and Deirdre. Can I say The Capture on ABC? It's a BBC show. I think series 3's just come out. I've binged 1 and 2. I haven't finished series 2.
The Capture?
The Capture. Very good. It's about AI. Not AI. CCTV and AI. And it was... First one was made in 2019.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this show. Apparently it's really good, isn't it? Yeah,
if you're watching it in, 2019, thinking 2019, where it is, say, it says we're going, we're here. Yeah. Okay, let me have a guess. An Australian series.
Chris, we'll have to go. Thank you, mate. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Kingsley in Adelaide. Hello, Kingsley.
Yeah, hello, Philip. Switching my speaker off. Producer told me to switch my speaker off,
yeah.
But I can't hear you very well with my speaker off.
Oh, okay.
So it's off now.
That's all right. Well, you can leave it on if you can't hear us, Kingsley. That's all right.
I can hear you, but barely.
Oh, well, then put your speaker back on then.
Okay. Thank you. That's better.
Question 20. The ring cycle where Arthur and Deirdre end up getting back together is the finale of which classic Australian sitcom?
Well, the only sitcom I know that has an Arthur in it is Mother and Son.
Correct.
There's nothing wrong with her. She just can't bear the thought that I might want to do something with my life. I'm supposed to be her slave with no interest in life except feeding her and wiping her and putting her to bed. I just hope she can't hear this. Well, I hope she can. If I want to get married to Deirdre again, I will, and she won't stop me.
Married?
Oh, I know. Well, talk about getting married again. At least start to talk about getting married again. I thought tonight that we might start to think about starting to talk about getting married again.
I might have taken my wedding ring off my finger, but I've worn it around my neck ever since.
That's what I do, see? Then, when I'm doing the washing, it won't go down the sink.
Mum! What? You found your ring.
Where?
It's on a string around your neck.
Good boy, Robbie!
Mother and
I
Son.
I loved Mother and Son.
It was great, wasn't it? It was great.
Yeah, one of the greatest shows on TV.
Yeah, it was. Ruth Cracknell, hey? Question 21. All right, we've got 3 left in TV finales and 2 left in Répondez en Français.
We'll go with the TV finales.
TV finales. In the final episode of Doctor Who to date... Nudi Gatwa had regenerated into which British actress who had previously played one of the Doctor's companions?
No, I wasn't a Doctor Who fan. I did watch it from time to time. I like Peter Capaldi. I like Tom Baker. But no, I'm not a Doctor Who fan.
No good. All righty. See ya.
Good night,
see ya, mate. Bye-bye. Betty from Dapto. Hi, Bet.
Hello, Phil.
How you doing? All right?
Yeah, pretty good.
Are you a Doctor Who fan?
No. Sorry. I can't. I was just a couple of days ago, I was thinking about Mother and Son when she went to the funeral and all the oranges fell down on top of the casket. Do you remember that?
That's right. Oh, it's funny.
It was a great show.
It was one of those shows that was made by her, though, don't you reckon, Ruth Cracknell?
Yes. And
Gary McDonald, yeah.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. And a lot of the old ones, even Keeping Up Appearances, you used to always get a laugh out of it somewhere along the way, but I don't think they have very many good shows like that now.
Yeah, I don't know, Betty. There's a few around. I mean, the trouble is these days you need subscriptions to streaming services and things like that to get at them, you know, just because on free-to-air telly there's not so much anymore. I agree with you, yeah.
Well, my eyesight's not good enough much to watch TV, but I'm very happy with my radio, and I have a lot of music, a lot of discs, tapes and things, and my life's pretty good, Phil.
Good on it. You're on your bet. That's great. Now, if you don't know, do you know anything about Doctor Who? Not really.
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay, no worries.
Lovely to talk to you.
You too, Betty. You too, Betty.
I've known a few answers tonight, but not enough.
Regards to Adrian and to Fred.
Thank you. And it always amazes me, the cleverness of the people who ring up for your show. They're just amazing, aren't they?
I know. I agree. I agree, Betty. I agree. I'm in awe too. See ya.
Bye, Phil.
Bye, Bet. See ya. Betty should check out Schitt's Creek. Yes, that wasn't a bad show. That's true. Pamela in Carlton. Hi, Pamela.
Morning, Phil.
Are you a Doctor Who fan?
No. In fact, when it first started, when I was a child, a very little child, I was terrified by it because I thought it was all real. I used to hide behind the couch.
Exterminate.
Exactly.
In the final episode of Doctor Who to date, Nakuti Gatwa regenerates into which British actress who had previously played one of the Doctor's companions?
And I have no idea. Thank you, Phil.
Thanks, Pamela. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Someone can win from here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 left. Joe from Ridgehaven. Hi, Joe.
Oh, hello.
You're a Doctor Who fan?
Yeah, I am. Would it be Billy Piper?
Correct, it is. It's Billy Piper. Very good. All right, we've got 4 left here, Joe. This is within your capabilities. Okay. Harry in the Bay said that mother and the son were so much like my mother and me, the show could have been called Harry and Fran. Yes. Gavin and Glee, best series ever, 6 Feet Under, Babylon, Berlin and Breaking Bad. Yeah, well, I'd put Breaking Bad in there, that's for sure. That's for sure. We might talk about this, you know, issues of the day. Now, Joe, question 22. We've got 2 left in TV finales, 2 left in Répondez en Français, s'il vous plaît.
Let's stick with TV.
TV finales. The last episode of which US sitcom was set on the 31st of December,
1979.
The last episode of which US sitcom was set on the 31st of December, 1979.
Would it be Frasier?
Not Frasier. No. Sorry, Joe. Thank you, mate. No, it's not Frasier. Chris in the Southern Water says, hey, Phil, hey, Betty, the listeners who text in are reasonably clever too. Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. Chris from Baronia, no, it's not MASH. Sandra from Perth, yes, correct. Just remember there are always clues. There are usually clues in the questions of the Mighty Challenge, all right? Question 22, the last episode of which US sitcom was set on the 31st of December, 1979. Annette, correct. Paul from Plainlands, correct. 1-300-800-222. Someone help me here. We need an answer. The last episode of which US sitcom was set on the 31st of December, 1979. Greg from Wonthaggi says, by the way, Phil, I tried watching the remake of Mother and Son, but was spoiled by Ruth Cracknell and Gary McDonald. That's true. I don't think the remake really worked, did it? I don't think so. I don't want to be unkind about it, but I don't think so. 1-300-800-222. Who knows the answer to this? We're in TV finales. The last episode of which US sitcom was set on the 31st of December, 1979? Uh-huh. Any suggestions? Baronia from Adelaide, correct. Anne's correct. Yes. Michael in Brisbane, correct. Someone give me a call and tell me. We're up to question 22. There's only four left. Two questions in TV finales. Two questions in Répondez en Français civil play. Help me out here. All right. The last episode of which US sitcom was set on the 31st of December, 1979.
Hi.
What do you reckon?
That 70s show.
It would be that 70s show. Yes. The last episode of which was broadcast on the 31st of December, 1979. Yes, that 70s show.
I've never watched it, but I've heard of the title and I thought, you know, the clue is in there.
That's the clue. The clue is in the question, yeah. Exactly. All right, we've got one left in TV finales. Otherwise, it's Répondez en Français civil play. What do you want to do?
TV finales.
TV finales. Quote, you've shared their lives, their hopes and their dreams. Tonight, bid a fond farewell to the family all Australia has loved, was a tagline used to advertise the last episode of which soapy?
Oh, you got me there. I never got home in time from work to watch soapy. So good. Okay, Phil, thanks a lot.
No mate. Good. All right, Dusty, thank you. Michael in Perth. Hi, Michael.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. You've shared their lives, their hopes and their dreams. Tonight, bid a fond farewell to the family all Australia has loved, was a tagline used to advertise the last episode of which soap opera?
I thought it was MASH, but it was in 1979, is that right?
No, it's not MASH, no. Sorry, mate, no, not MASH. Spiro, hello, Spiro.
How you going, mate?
Pretty good. Question 23.
Yep.
You've shared their lives, their hopes and their dreams. Tonight, bid a fond farewell to the family all Australia has loved.
Now, the family that Australia loves, I'm trying to think of the title name, but I can see it was Gary McDonald. What was it called? I've forgotten now. Mother and Son.
No, not Mother and Son. Sorry, mate. No, it's not Mother and Son. Jim from Seaford. G'day, Jim.
Good morning, Phil.
Morning. What's the soapy we want here?
A soap, did you say?
Yeah. You've shared their lives, their hopes and their dreams. Tonight, bid a fond farewell to the family all Australia has loved, was a tagline used to advertise the very last episode of which soap opera?
Would that be the Sullivans?
Correct, it would be. Yes, the Sullivans. Very good. All right, there's only two questions left here. Jim, you can clean up here. They're both in a Répondez en Français civil play.
Uh-oh.
Quote, people everywhere, a sense of expectation hanging in the air, are the opening lyrics of which ABBA song?
Well, I was a huge ABBA fan when I was like 6 or 7 years of age.
Yes. Répondez en français, civil play, is the category.
Not coming to me, Phil. Fernando?
Not Fernando. No. Sorry, mate. No, not Fernando. Morris in Launceston. G'day, Morris.
How are you, Phil?
Pretty good. People everywhere, a sense of expectation hanging in the air. Are the opening lyrics of which ABBA song? We're in a category called Répondez en Français.
I've got no idea, but I'll have a crack at Xanadu.
Aha, not Xanadu. Nope, not Xanadu. Mo, g'day, Mo.
Oh, greetings, Phil.
What do you reckon?
I was ringing up for the O'Sullivans.
Oh, yeah.
I love that show.
Yes, it was. Yes, well, it was an institution, wasn't it? Now, this one is, well, if you're a fan, you need to be a fan of ABBA, probably. People everywhere, a sense of expectation hanging in the air. Are the opening lyrics of which ABBA song? Répondez en français is the category.
Voulez-vous?
That's the one we're after. That's the one, Mo. People everywhere, sense of expectation hanging in the air. Even a spark, across the room your eyes are glowing in the dark. And here we go again, we know the start, we know the end. Masters of the scene, we've done it all before and now we're back to get. Voulez-vous répondre en français, s'il vous plaît? Mo, you've got yourself here. Can you get yourself out and up? Question 25, and to win and the magnet is yours. It's been a bit of a struggle tonight. Répondez en français, s'il vous plaît, is the category. Which French word for appetizers translates literally as outside the work? French word for appetizers translates literally as outside the work?
Outside the word.
Outside no, work. Work, not word.
Appetizers.
French word for appetizers.
I know this. No. I'm having a brain fart.
It's gone, Mo.
See ya.
Bye. Mary in the Lena Valley in Hobart. G'day, Mary.
Hello, Phil.
Hi. Which French word for appetizers translates literally as outside the work?
Well, this is probably terribly wrong, but is it hors d'oeuvre?
Oh, of course it is. Oh, that is really a Bradbury you've done tonight, Mary. That's very good. Excellent work. All right. Yes, hors d'oeuvre literally means outside the work. But it is the correct answer to question 25, and that means you are the winner. Mary,
yes.
I'll put you on hold and we'll get some details from you. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Phil.
Bye-bye. See ya. Good night to you too. Paul from Planland says, La Finger Food. It ought to be La Finger Food. Baroni from Adelaide had hors d'oeuvre. Caraman from Malambimbi had the aperitif. Frank from Mount Evelyn says, what about horses d'oeuvres? Yes. Yes, the classic horses d'oeuvres. That's true. Nate from Club Ormo had the hors d'oeuvres as well. Nice work, everyone.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.